interdimensional entities, when they're in a human form, they can be shot. And that's the problem they've got. And they don't want these weapons here. Angel Wars, part six, right now. Let's do it. By the way, we told you the other day that we're a theater show, just a theater show. It's all part of a big staged scenario that we're going through right now. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena, the theater. We've been made a spectacle to the whole universe, then say to the planet, to the whole universe, to the angels, as well as to the human beings." So he's telling us right now that, you know, there's a big thing going on right here that's a pretty big deal. Joy sent me a book the other day by Pastor McLaughlin, and it's got some really interesting points in there about the angel wars, and I really like it. It says that he quotes Karen Hancock, and she put it this way: "The ultimate conspiracy is true nature, and parameters remain among the most carefully guarded secrets of all time, for the devil has deceived the whole world. As God tells us through the Apostle John, Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, the ruler of the earth, the roaring lion, prowling about seeking someone to devour. He is craftier than any creature able to appear as an angel of the light with indescribably beautiful voice, far superior to man in intellect. He has blinded the minds of men, both Christians and non-Christians alike, persuading them that there is no God, that they are not sinners, that they need grace, that they can please God with their own works, that there is no devil, no hell, no unseen war at all." And she's right. And that's what we're talking about in this series here, Angel Wars. For many people, including many Christians, are unable to associate the events of their lives with the big picture, the angelic conflict itself. Like it or not, believe it or not, we're all part of the angelic conflict, and we are. It goes on to say in this book, it says, "So how is this exactly that things have gotten to this point? The Bible teaches that before the creation of man, a conflict arose between God and his angels when Satan attempted to ascend to the Mount of Heaven, the third dimension, and wrest God's rulership away from him. The resulting battle left the surface of the earth, and what Hebrew says is, tahu wa bahu, was the ruins. At this point, the earth was packed in ice, supposedly, and in water. Presumably, it was at this time the trial occurred with Satan, which his cronies were found guilty and sentenced to the lake of fire." And Isaiah 24:1 says, "Behold, the Lord says, the earth wastes, devastates it, distorts the surface, and scatters its inhabitants. I looked at the earth," this is Jeremiah 4:23-26, "and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. And I looked, and behold, there was no man. And all the birds of the heavens had fled, and I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were pulled down before the Lord's fierce anger." We talked about this last week, in which it was destroyed in the angelic war. The Hebrews phrase, tahu wa wa bahu, is also used in Jeremiah 4:23 to describe the results of a battle, which verse 26 says occurred at a time when there was no man, or in prehistory, or the angelic wars. So I thought this was interesting. And it goes on to say that since Satan was obviously not yet in the lake of fire, the logical conclusion is that he appeared, that he appealed his sentence. We can speculate the number of grounds on which he was making his appeal. One that seems to carry the most weight is an accusation against God's character that we hear most often in life, and how can a loving God cast his creatures into hell? We covered all this last week. To answer this appeal, God created man, a lower being, and set him up in a great stadium on earth, which we just talked about, 1 Corinthians 4:9, for the angels and for all of creation to observe. 1 Corinthians 4:9 uses the Greek words theatron, the place where public dramas were shown, and this is where we get our English word for theater. Throughout all of human history, an audience of angels sees the character and the nature of God shown to an infinitely loving and just and righteous. Through the genius of his plan, using the free will decisions of the original perfect man and woman, God arranged that all the rest of us would begin life condemned as sinners and rebels, condemned just as Satan is condemned. Then God would take the form of a lower being himself in the form of Jesus as a man. That'd be an incredible shock to the angelic creation. More shocking still, he'd allowed man basically to abuse and mock him, and finally to nail him to a Roman cross in an attempt to destroy him. In the end, our Lord would bear the penalty for the sins of those same shameful people and all the rest of us as well. In this, he neutralized the claims that his justice had against us so that we could live with him and fellowship with him forever. There is no greater demonstration of the love of this to show God's self-sacrifice. It must show the angels and all of the angelic creatures that he was willing to do for them when they fell. The scripture makes no direct mention of this. So, guys, it's so important that we understand that, you know, we're not the only people talking about what's happening with the Angel Wars. This conversation has been going on for a long, long, long time. And these entities are all about demonic possession. And at the heart of black magic, we have demonic possession, in which these spirit beings or whatever they are, not necessarily angels, but the other demons and other things that they have that use as their foot soldiers, inhabit the human beings. Black magic at its core is really about demonic possession. And since the world is made of energy and not matter, and since energy moves in waves which have frequencies, the satanic rituals that are designed to entrain energetic biofrequency of the participant with that of other dark entities, so there's a vibrational match or a sync. Once there's a resonance lock or frequency lock, an exchange can take place. Energy, intent, or information go from one being, place, or dimension can be transferred to the other. This works both ways. The person gets possessed and receives information from certain dark entities, while the dark entities also take on something from that person. The theme of possession crops up again and again and again when you read, you know, the accounts of the early church. Even Jesus had to cast these demons out. So understand, this is very, 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 very real. And this earth is not of, you know, the Lord. Satan runs it. We know that. It's prison planet Earth run by Lucifer. We have the angels here to protect us if we accept Jesus Christ and we're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. He may no longer run around and devour us because now he can't, because we basically have been sanctified and basically cleansed, as was happened with the Passover Lamb with the Hebrews. He's no longer allowed to touch us. And so that's the purpose of Christianity. That's the purpose of all of the stuff that we're in, is to show that God is truly righteous, to show all of his creation all of the time. Every single time they want to look down at Theater Earth, you know, the big three-ring, four-ring, thousand-ring circus we got going down here with all the dancing elephants and dancing Trumps and dancing Bidens that are all a bunch of fake peoples on a stage. That's all they are. And we have to realize that we're simply in a theater presentation of Planet Earth, Day One, Century One, Act One. Yes, I don't know. But this is what God's doing with us. He's letting us prove to the world and to creation itself that he is righteous and that we have freedom of choice and we can do whatever we want to do, including worship him and to do what's right in his eyes. And that's the thing that's important to me to understand, that you guys understand, that when we look at God and we look at Jesus and we realize what he did for us by coming down as a man, it changes everything. Now, let's talk for 1 second about the creation of man. Let's talk about, you know, the firmament of the sky and the heaven that died for the day. And God made true great light lights. We talked about that. Let's go to the refurbishing day 5 in Genesis. Now, this is when everything was kind of interesting. This is when God ordered and Jesus ordered to start creating the living things and the oceans and the airs and the lakes and the creeping creatures to keep the waters clean. And basically, this is being shown, you know, I guess the entire creation could see what was going on. And every single creature they designed either had a brain or a computer made by living protein, or smaller insects that had living microchips. On top of that, every cell and every creature had DNA so it could reproduce itself. And what the angels saw, I guess, when they were being, it was all being created, was that, you know, it was amazing what God was doing. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, bring forth the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, be fruitful and multiply. And we need to understand this is how God created the heavens and the earth. And when he did all of this, he basically decided he was going to go ahead and continue to introduce additional species in there. But then he also decided he's going to introduce a new race into the universe, would be the key they'll call the human race. That's what makes us different. We're very different from the angels and all these different entities that he made on other planets, because we have been made in the image of God himself. Unlike the angels, this race is going to be able to procreate and increase the numbers. They'll have created bodies, and half of them will be males, and half of them will be females. We need to understand all that. And the purpose of refurbishing the earth to create a human race is, again, like it said in that other book, and what he talked about in Romans, is God's righteousness, to show that basically what Lucifer did and who Lucifer is. And, you know, on the sixth day, you know, God started and started to produce the manufacture of the different species. And there was no evolution. I'm going to say that to you again. Darwinism is a lie. It's communism and it's Satanism is all it is. Every single animal is designed with a microcomputer, which is their DNA and their brain system. They're carefully manufactured. All these animals had computer brains, and they were given the ability basically to have minimal amounts of thought. A lot of them also react with conditioning, and you know, like birds fly with magnetic navigation to migrate. Dolphins use sonar. All of these things were here, except for the T-Rex. Okay, somebody asked me about the T-Rex. These massive dinosaurs were not in the Garden of Eden. They are not herbivores. Okay, they were basically something that happened, you know, during before the flood with Noah, in which they were basically being put here by Lucifer and the gang and these other angels to basically subvert God's creation again. Nobody wants to live with a T-Rex. It's not something that's cool. All right. Nobody wants to have to deal with not being eaten by that thing. So this is, again, when God said, you know, Enoch was told by God that these angels had sinned against the reptiles. That's when this has happened. Now, somebody asked me in one of the letters they sent me, how did the book of Enoch basically survive the flood? That's easy. Moses or Noah took that book with him on the ark to make sure that it would survive. The account would be there as far as what happened in heaven and what happened before. Very, very easy. That was an easy question. Now, remember, animals are not given the capacity to know time or concept of time. They don't have any knowledge of the past or what's taking place in the past. They don't have any of that ability. That's why, you know, it's just, they're not human beings. They don't have a soul that lives for eternity. They don't have any of that stuff. But, you know, we need to realize that this laboratory was something that was being used, if you want to call it that, to put the body together. You had to have a physical structure with a skeleton. You had to have the muscles that had to be put together, the bones, the digestion. You had to have waste material being processed to the livers and kidneys. You had to have a harness of wires, also known as nerves, and a solar plexus and a nerve plexus to be designed for the body to have cells to create electricity to run through the body. Special glands were designed to create chemicals, etc. A powerful protein computer had to be designed that could handle all automatic functions of the body like digestion, eliminating of waste products, and breathing. We need to understand, too, that these human beings, you know, were made in the image of God Almighty. Furthermore, the physical brain had to have a component that would be connected to the soul of the brain, and this was a mystery designed in connecting the body from the spirit world to the physical body. King Solomon said it this way in Ecclesiastes 12:6-7, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." That's why any person who believes about Darwin's theory of evolution is either totally uneducated, deceiving themselves, or is trying to be politically correct. Since it's been mandated, evolution is what every person should accept and be taught in the school systems. It's simply not it. And once the adult physical body was finished, when God created Adam and Eve, Adam became a living soul, and God breathed the soul, the life into him. Now, and God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature after every kind, every creeping thing, and he created Adam and Eve, etc. Now, we also need to, that's going to be Genesis 2-7. It's very long, and I've got a lot of stuff to cover today, and I don't want to get into that right now. You can read that yourself. Genesis 2-7, Genesis 1:24-27. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord formed God, man, formed man from the dust of the earth, dust of the ground, breathed through his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Adam was created sinless, pure, and holy. He must have looked like Jesus." That's why they call him the second Adam, you know, as far as Christ. You know, when he came to us, when it's once the soul and the spirit and the body have been united. So you have to understand, when he was created as an adult, and he had to be educated. But he didn't go through the childhood process like with the rest of us do when they're being raised. And so God wanted Adam and Eve to be obedient to him. Now, when Adam and Eve were being created, we know that that was another day. So they could have been on the planet for 1,000 years. And we need to understand that, you know, they say basically the creation of Adam and Eve took place on the sixth day of the refurbishing of the earth. And since each day was 1,000 years, we don't know how long the sixth day was when they were created. Logically, Jesus created the Garden of Eden before Adam came into being. This must have been a fantastic garden. All these are butterflies and birds, etc. And then Genesis 2:8-9, it says that the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed out of the ground, and made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And since the canopy around the earth created an even temperature, neither cold or hot, there was no need for buildings, neither did it rain. There must have been beds placed in the area of the garden where Adam and Eve slept. Now, it's very important that we understand the way Adam and Eve were made. They were made in a three-dimensional state. It's very important. They had the body, they had the soul, and they had the spirit in them. And they were basically in God's image. And we on earth here as human beings, as Christians, we have our body, we have our soul, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, basically helping us and guiding us. So we have the abilities in the beginning, I'm sure, with Adam and Eve to be incredible creative ability, have creative abilities because they were created in God's image. Adam was created as a super being, quite frankly. And, you know, and because of the fall, because of the DNA being constantly compromised with, you know, other types of entities being bred in with us, it's no longer the case. That's why they lived to be 1,000 years old back then. And so we have to understand that if we understand who we are and what happens, then we have to understand that basically Adam was like a newborn baby. I mean, he didn't know where he was or where he came from. He had no knowledge of anything. The difference between Adam and the newborn baby was that Adam was created as an adult, while the baby has to grow up to become an adult. The baby is educated as he grows to an adult. Now, what's interesting about this stuff, and this is very, very important, is that when we have that interdimensional interface, that 3D interdimensional interface with God, what we end up having is a antimatter-matter interface. If you go to the slit experiments, you can read through those. When people are looking and watching protons, until they have consciousness looking at them, they have no order. When you look at them, they line up perfectly. When you don't look at them, they don't have any order whatsoever. You can go ahead and read through the slit experiments if you'd like. And so that's exactly what we have here in the earth that we are currently in. This is an incredible energetic field that we live in, you know, where everything is energy. You know, I think I've told you this before. If you take if you blow an atom up to the size of a pea, and you take that pea and you put it on the 50-yard line of a major stadium, any football stadium in the United States, you put it on the 50-yard line. From that pea on the 50-yard line to the top of the top of the top of the stadium, where the second level of electrons takes place, is empty space. There's nothing there. It's all energy, and it's through Jesus that all is being held together. This is quantum mechanics, and if you understand that, it starts making sense to you. That's why it says through Christ, all things are held together. If you took the earth and you took all of the atoms, you took the empty space out of them and you collapsed it, you'd have a black hole about the size of a softball. That's how much space is empty on the entire planet that's being held together in this matrix that we're in. Now, I'm going to read you something here. It's going to tie a lot of this together, and it's from Elena Freeland. I've covered this book before several years ago, but I haven't gone into it very often. And it's called Under an Ionized Sky. Now I'm going to tie together a whole bunch of stuff that you guys haven't thought about that I've never talked about right now. We need to do this. So I'm going to talk about antimatter. The study of matter, what is and isn't, has obsessed Western science since the 18th century, as has the determination to probe its origins. We now know that the reality of our five senses perception is actually a complex pattern of interlocking waveforms, much as was envisioned in the final scenes of the 2003 film The Matrix Revolutions. What we see as matter is the positive cycle of a wave pulsing into existence, while in hyperdimension, its negative cycle manifests as antimatter. In other words, we pulse in and out all the time of matter to antimatter. Quantum physics and harmonics mathematics may be preparing humanity for encounters beyond what occultists have for centuries termed the threshold or the veil at CERN, C-E-R-N, is also known as the containment wall. And let me explain to you what this means. And this is how demonic possession takes place. A person's DNA goes in and out of an antimatter state. It's an interdimensional interface to God. It's an antenna. It's a coiled helix, our DNA is. And that coiled helix allows us to have an interconnection with God himself. That's what it's designed to do. We're an antenna to God is what we are as human beings. That's what they're telling us here in quantum mechanics. That's what our DNA is. It's a coiled helix. It's a coiled antenna. And our matter goes from an antimatter to a matter state on an ongoing basis so fast you can't see it. But what it's doing is it's giving the opportunity for whatever's on the other side of the veil in the antimatter state to attach itself to it. That's how demonic possession occurs. That's how it happens. And what they're trying to do at CERN is they're trying to affect the antimatter-matter tether to us, and trying to allow these other entities to come into our dimension and influence us. Very important that we understand that. Now, she didn't clarify it like that. I read you what she said. Now, remember, think of antimatter and matter, I'm going back to her book now, as the yin-yang of reality, the building blocks of atoms being electrons and photons and protons, each with its own antimatter and opposite charge, some positive and negative charge, that was mentioned before in Chapter 7 of this book. When terms like Higgs boson and God particle, CERN claimed to seek the glue binding all matter together. What it really seeks is antimatter rooted beyond the threshold of earthly existence. I'm going to repeat this. What CERN is really seeking is the antimatter rooted beyond the threshold of earthly existence. In other words, it wants to separate you from God and allow you to be set up for demonic possession. This is what they're going to do when they use a D-wave computer that they say is like standing before the altar of an alien God to tie into you interdimensionally. It's going to tie into your antimatter state when it's in the other dimension, so it can control the thoughts and the minds and the hearts of the people on this planet, just like it did in Chapter 6 in Genesis. This is why it's so important. It says that every thought of every man was evil all the time in Genesis chapter 6. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, when every thought was evil all the time, so shall it be upon the return of the Son of Man. That's who we are. We're an interdimensional interface creation by God Almighty that goes from an antimatter to matter state on a continual basis, which is easily influenced from the other side of the veil if they attach themselves to us while we're there. He goes on to say, having deciphered antimatter's signature and breached the threshold, CERN now opens its way to impact everyone's antimatter tether. For example, it is true that CERN has breached the veil and opened an aperture or a portal welcoming antimatter into our dimension. It seems obvious that if antimatter is the yin to matter is yang, antimatter entities now in a 3D space will need to either produce a plasma body, plasma being the fourth state of matter, or occupy a body possibly already occupied, such as an autistic child. I had to throw that in there. She did not say that. But that's what they're going to do. There's no reason they want all these kids with autism. There's no reason they have all these children running around that don't know who they are or what they're doing. You know, because that antimatter tether is going to be easier to go into and breach into a child that has autistic spectrum disorder, especially one that's really, 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 really messed up. And so we have to understand that these guys are all a bunch of weirdos. On March the 9th, 2015, the Shiva Dance of Destruction around the Large Hadron Collider occurred. Shiva's dance is a dance of some atomic matter. You know, on Wednesday, August the 12th, 2015, a mirror event in New York City, a hologram of the Hindu goddess Kali was cast upon the Empire State Building. On August 11th, 2016, a seemingly satanic night ritual replete with female sacrifice in front of Shiva in the main square. Wednesday, June the 1st, 2016, a mirror event in Switzerland, two-part ritual spectral in Switzerland to Christian, the opening of the $12 billion Gothard-based tunnel, buried a mile and a half under the Gothard mountain range of the Swiss Alps. Though not on the site with CERN, the latitude of the Gothard tunnel is at 46600 north, and a CERN is 46.233. Serious ritual always takes place with account of planetary and geodetic conditions. Okay, now this is when all these global elites first watched the ritual spectacle of robotic workers in large orange jumpsuits peeling down to their underwear inside of the cavern, then witnessed the mystery drama of Baphomet simulating. I'm not going to read the rest of it. It's that bad. And this is what they did. The rituals are connected to the intent that CERN throw open the gates to the abyss of the antimatter on an energetic level. Being human straddles both matter and antimatter. Thus, it seems obvious these rituals are intended to open us to our antimatter side, giving us that our thoughts and our feelings tend towards one side or the other. This is how they're going to control the thoughts and make everybody's thoughts evil all the time. Entities drawn into an antimatter are demonic to human beings, so increased production and extraction of antimatter will increase demonic presence. By wielding antimatter's energy signature, the LHC will call the antimatter signatures of human beings to advocate. It seems the Temple of CERN is about altering reality as we have known it. Theoretical physicist Feynman said it had it right. If you aren't deeply disturbed by quantum mechanics, you have not understood it. And at the base of CERN is the D-Wave alphabetic quantum computer system, controls the portals, the rate of opening, their size, and what comes through. Whereas the nominal operational temperature for the LHC is 1.9 degrees and below, the D-Wave chip in a 10-foot black box must be kept colder than deep space at just above absolute zero, which is like 300 degrees below zero. It is that cold that transforms the mere chip into a cubic. And that cubic superconductor, D-Wave also requires an extremely low magnetic environment at 50,000 times lower than the Earth's ambient magnetic field. And when you do all of this stuff, the D-Wave appears to function as an interdimensional interface. First came D-Wave model 512 qubits linked with Josephson's functions. And then they keep making it stronger and stronger and stronger. In the quantum world's dimensions are frequencies, and everything locked in matter has a dual nature of waves, spiritual and particles and physical, and quantum tunneling reaches into spiritual dimensions. And the atomic frequencies enter our reality are subject to the same 3D space laws. That's why they don't want us to have guns. Okay, I just said a lot. When they come into our state and they're in our dimension, they don't want us armed. And that's what we're seeing now with all of the rest of it. And when all of this stuff happens, you have to understand that we are basically in a situation where this fallen angel stuff that we're involved in, that we're talking about right now, is the same battle that's been going on since before mankind was put here with Adam and Eve. It's the same stuff they've always tried to do. These geneticists, these fallen angels, that's why they go around and they have these people get abducted. That's why they steal their glands and steal their ovaries and steal their testicles and all, steal their sperm and their ovum, all of this stuff. on an ongoing basis for continued genetic experiments to open up these tethers and to allow people to be possessed and to create other entities, just like they did in Genesis 6. That's what runs the planet. And when you understand that, you start to realize that without Jesus Christ, we have absolutely no hope whatsoever. I mean, we really don't. There's absolutely nothing we can do without God and Jesus in our lives. It's impossible that we simply can't do it. So, you know, when we understand that this is part of what we have to go through and part of who we are, and that how we're being continually shown what is real and what's not real. It's like yesterday I was talking to a friend about, you know, quantum entanglement. I was talking about fractal timelines and how sometimes a certain person will meet another person, you know, and how our footsteps are ordered by the Lord. And it's so true, isn't it? I mean, how in the world can you explain so many things? And then she started asking me about luck. And I said, there's no such thing as luck. It's all the blessings of God. It's all being orchestrated through the fractal timelines. And, you know, and what we have to realize is this. I had somebody say to me one time, well, the harder that I work, the luckier I get. And I thought, how about that? And I also remember, and I have that German plaque on my wall here at my house, and I've read it to you so many times. Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. There's two fundamental principles of life that can never be broken, prayer and work. Because if we are indeed a three-dimensional antenna to God Almighty, which is what we are through our antimatter tether, doesn't it make sense that we need to stay in prayer on an ongoing basis and thank God Almighty for who we are and Christ for who he is? And if we do that, we'll understand our great role here in this universe. And then the things of this earth will seem to be less important to us, and we'll realize that we have to stay focused on spiritual things. Really important that we get this stuff today, guys. I gave you one. I'm going to stop now with Angel Wars. I'm going to go next time. I'm going to talk about the temptation of Eve and what happened with Satan. That's the next show. It's going to be another long one. I don't want to get into it. But I had to tell you, it's through the interdimensional interface of our spirit being that's part of the interdimensional tether into another dimension that we're affected by these entities and can be possessed by them. That's what it was all about in the Garden of Eden. And we're in this giant spectacle, like it says in the First Corinthians, on parade before the entire universe and before the angels to see what we are going to do while we're here. So it's important that we always think about our actions and our behavioral patterns while we're here and what we do. Always remember, try to bring honor and glory to God in all that you do, think, and say. I know I always tell you guys, when you go to a restaurant, pray out loud. Let everybody know that you're a Christian. Let them know what you believe. Let them know that you understand who we are and what we are in Christ. And most Christianity or Catholicism or Lutheran church or whatever isn't going to teach you anything that I taught you today, because this creation that we live in, it's not about Darwin. It's not about us turning in, coming from a monkey. It doesn't work that way. Our brains are magnificent biocomputers. They're magnificent. And they can't be evolved. It doesn't work that way. Now, they can be changed. They can be altered. They can be damaged. They can be chipped. That can happen. That's why I stand here with you guys, and I applaud all of you who refuse to take the COVID shot. It means the world to me that you wouldn't allow them to put mRNA into your system and start changing you from the inside out. Really important we stand against all of that stuff. And understand, you can take nanokinase, N-acetylcysteine, you can take our HGH stimulate, and all the different things they have to mitigate the damages associated with it. And we have the spike protein survival kit at the office too, we put together for you guys. But I want to cover this, but today was really a lot of, this is like information overload today. But I had to get into quantum mechanics a little bit today, and I had to let you know how our universe is made out of energy and that we're all part of this. And when our bodies and our mind sees a picture on the wall, that picture doesn't exist like we see it. Our brain and our optic cortex changes it to something that we understand. It's lines of energy is what it is. That's how the whole universe is made, and we're all part of that energy field.
Well, something I wanted to ask you is I thought this was very interesting. You brought it up towards the beginning. I never really thought of this concept, but now I want to get kind of your opinion, and I get – all listeners, this is just kind of, you know, speculation as far as in this question. But you made a comment about how Adam was created as a man. The Bible's very clear about that in Genesis. He wasn't born a baby. He was not birthed by a woman. He was spoken to by God Almighty. He was brought on the earth by the words of God Almighty. You know, Jesus was born on earth, but he was also raised from child all the way up. So he continued to kind of grow in the sense of, I guess, reaching concrete rational thought. When Adam was born, this is the question I'm getting at, when he was, I guess, born, built by God on earth, he was spoken to existence. Do you think God had to kind of slowly download information into him as far as it wasn't overloaded? Or you think he just kind of got a full download right out the rip? Because it talks about how he had to name every single animal, which, by the way, I don't think people fully grasp how difficult that would be to do. You'd have to have quite a bit of knowledge to go in and start naming animals and basically based on their account and what they do and everything else. So what do you think about that? Do you think it was kind of like a transition as far as of knowledge that he gave him, or do you think it was just kind of Adam was there on Earth and God spoke him into existence and he was there downloaded? How do you think that worked with him?
I mean, Adam and Eve both were relatively naive when they were first made. I think that they were like infants, not so much as an infant as far as, you know, pooping in their diaper or whatever, but I'm talking about not knowing what they were. Jesus probably, when he breathed the life into Adam, and Adam, you can imagine how Adam must have felt. He wakes up as an adult in this body, okay, and he's looking at Jesus. Like, what the heck is this, okay? And I'm sure Jesus looked at him and said, hey, I love you. I'm your daddy. I just made you from the dust of the earth, and you are really, really amazing how you were made. And so let's just chill out. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you a bunch of information. And he probably was able to learn at an incredibly accelerated speed, Austin.
Yeah.
Because of the brain power that God put in him. He probably, I mean, because we use less than 10% of our brain. Probably really some people only use less than 1%, to be honest with you. They don't think too much of nothing. They can't really have any concrete rational thought because they continue to believe everything they hear. They don't want to learn. But Adam didn't have that. Adam had full potential. He was full brain capable. And remember, he was also interdimensionally interlocked with God through what we just talked about, through the animatic tether. And so God could have downloaded in him as much as he wanted to instantaneously, but he probably did it on a gradual basis, not to overwhelm Adam until Adam became who he was. But remember, he still had no foreknowledge of the angel wars that happened before him. He had no foreknowledge of what happened on the earth and had been destroyed. God didn't, or if he did, God didn't tell us that he had any of that knowledge. Adam was basically pretty naive. And the only interaction he had with was with Eve, you know, and then they ate from that knowledge of the tree of good and evil, whatever that's supposed to mean. We'll cover some of that tomorrow, too. And they fell and they became sinful and they realized they were naked, because before that they were running around the garden having fun, you know, being a nudist colony. And so it's just because they didn't see any sin in any of this stuff. And then Satan came in and says, oh, no, you guys are, you know, whatever. And so, started right there with that provocation. But I don't want to get into that for the best for tomorrow's show. The crazy part about this is that, you know, with Adam and Eve, I'm sure it had the gradual download. And I think that's one of the reasons that it was so easy for Lucifer to come in, like I mentioned at the beginning, with his ability and that voice and all the other stuff that he does, and able to morph it. Remember, it says he masquerades as an angel of the light. And, you know, whether he morphed into a snake, okay, or basically looked like a snake, or basically, you know, possessed the body of a snake, you know, and talked to Eve, apparently they were able to communicate with the animals. So I don't think that Adam and Eve really thought much about a snake talking, or if they did, it was like, well, God must have put it here, you know, whatever. And they believed the lie of, you know, that you will be as gods if you eat from this tree. And the sad part about it is isn't that what human beings always do? You know, you brought up on Friday, Austin, when Jesus was taken up onto the temple and taken up to the mountain, showing the kingdoms of the earth, and that Satan would give all this stuff to him because it was his to give, because he runs the planet. Okay, and God says no, you know, honor God, you know, don't test God, don't. And so Jesus rebukes Lucifer because he had the ability to do that. But even his encounter in an earthly body, if you think about this for a second, he had to fast before he did this, and his encounter with Lucifer himself was so debilitating to him that the angels had to come minister to him after this happened. Because remember, he had probably 66,000 bodyguards that were angels. We talked about that the other day, as far as the legions that were put here to defend him. And when we understand who he was and what he was able to do as a man and stand against the wiles of Lucifer, it tells us that we have to do the same thing to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And this is why it's so important that we understand who we are. We are a interdimensional interface designed to be in cooperation and working with God Almighty for all of eternity. And when we make it through this earth and we do what we're supposed to do here, then the next place we go to is going to be a whole lot better than this place. And I believe, and again, we mentioned this last week, that's the sole duty of man, is to obey God and serve him and obey his commandments, because everything it says will be shown that what we do. So always remember that. It's important that we know who we are in Christ and that we know who we do as Christians. It's important to go to church every week. It's important to realize who you are as a child of the Most High God, and that you were created in God's image, that we've definitely fallen from that point. I mean, you know, who knows? Adam could have been 200 feet tall. We don't know how big that guy was. He could have been a monstrous guy. You know, obviously, if a T-Rex was running around with him, if it had been there, it probably wasn't much of an influence to him. We don't know what Adam was, but we know that they have the altars of Adam and Eve. They have that over there in the Middle East over there, and these things are huge. Now, whether they're true or not, I don't know if that's what they are. But the point is that Adam and Eve were super beings. It's what they were, because they were created in God's image. And remember, we have a soul, we have a mind, and we have a body. God has God the Father. He's got God the Son, who's the body, and Holy Spirit, that's the soul. We were created in that same image of God Almighty. And we have to understand that when we pass away, our soul goes on back to be with God for all of eternity. Our body goes away. We have to understand that. We don't die. We never die as a Christian. We just change addresses. That's all we do. That's why it's death, O death, where's thy victory? Where's thy sting? Because Christ overcame both death, hell, and the grave. But when you understand what we are, and that we're that type of an energetic being, that basically puts out light photons, and that we can be hacked like with a computer system with a chip, it starts to make you realize why they're doing what they're doing with CERN and why they just injected everybody with mRNA technology and nanomicrocircuits. Now we understand it. And all this stuff is, again, coming from the evil one, because they're trying to do exactly what they did in Genesis chapter 6, where they control the thoughts and the hearts of the minds of God's creation to prove that God's not righteous, perhaps, to prove that we were going to fall into sin, as we are being displayed, like it says in 1 Corinthians 4:9, for the entire universe to see, along with the human beings and the angels. So that's why it's important that we always think about God and put him first in all that we do, think, and say. That's why we have to do that. Very important.